This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Guest here with me in just a second, but I want to remind you guys that things are getting serious. This is a time when we are witnessing the complete attack on our country from within and to a degree from without. But it's important to understand that the means and methods of this attack are very well known, and they're kind of classic. Like, the ways that you would bring down a civilization in the past are really the same patterns for how our civilization is being brought down. And it helps to understand those principles and those patterns. And we've really been focusing on that a lot in the last few months on my channel, over on YouTube, on my Rockfin channel, and so forth. And we've been covering not just global elite texts, but texts that describe the strategy of subversion, infiltration, these kinds of techniques. It's important to understand these, because if we don't understand that, then that we look at the wrong people, we look at the wrong institutions. And a lot of what goes on in terms of psychological warfare demonizes the wrong audience. They demonize the wrong people, get you deflected on thinking that, oh, it's the people that own land and property and the people that have businesses. Or this is Marxism. Classical Marxism says that man's problems arise from his alienation from his work and from the means of production and from the capitalist ruling class, right? That's just one example. Borrowing from that Hegelian dialectic, that's not really man's problem. And so there might be abuses that have taken place with industrialists and factory workers and all of that, sure. But the locus of power, right, the actual abuse is not coming from hierarchy itself. And so one of the techniques that revolution has always utilized, right, if you go back to this classic text by James H. Billington, Fire in the Minds of Men, Origins of the Revolutionary Faith. When he goes back and characterizes the history of revolution, the bad guys are always part of a structure, and the enemy is characterized as the structure itself. So what's man's problem? Well, because there's hierarchy in nature, because there's authority out there, that's the problem. Authority itself is the problem. It's not authority that itself that is the problem. It's the abuse of authority that's the problem. You see how that minor seeming philosophical distinction is enough to confuse and lead to centuries of revolution, death, chaos, bloodshed, etc. And it's just based on this misunderstanding, which deflects people away on the basis of false enemies, false hopes, false dreams. We're going to create a stateless utopia is what Marxism said. Literally, the classic Marxist idea is that we would eventually get to a stateless situation in the phases of history, in the phases of Marxism. But what if that's not man's problem? What if man's fundamental problem isn't alienation from nature and from the means and modes of production and the capitalists and all this? What if man's problem is something more fundamental inside of him, which are the classic ideas of virtue and vice? Right? Aristotle, for example, wrote about the virtues and how they are contrasted to the vices. And what if that's the problem and not the idea of there being structures in society? You'll notice the exact same thing that we see when we look at the way that, for example, people in the Skittles, trans community, all this kind of stuff, they will say that, you make me feel bad because you don't accept me. And so they place the blame on society structures. Society has stigmatized these things. And if society would just accept these things, I would stop feeling bad. I would not have a conscience bothering me anymore. But what if the problem is internal to man? What if the problem is his own fallen heart, his own desire to sin? And not societal structures, not placing the blame elsewhere. A lot of these false systems are based around placing the blame outside of man's own heart. And that's ultimately the source of it. So if man doesn't fix his own heart, none of these social structures are going to get fixed. And the source of man's problems are not the social structures. When we come back, we're going to talk to Courtney about Tavistock and other things that led to where we are today.
Iodine is naturally acquired through the soil, which is at the foundation of our entire food supply. Modern farming techniques have stripped the soil of this essential trace element, which has caused an iodine deficiency in about half the population. And there are two things we need to do about it. We need to practice more regenerative farming. There are plenty of proven technologies in permaculture and biodynamics that will naturally keep the soil rich with iodine. And we need to ensure that we get the sufficient amount of iodine every day. Derived from ancient sea salts found thousands of feet below the Earth's surface, our InfoWars Life Survival Shield X3 is hands down the best. Pure nascent iodine, stabilized in an activated tri-iodine form. For a healthy thyroid and a healthy metabolism, get yours now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of Alex Jones. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And we're talking about the false blame, the placing of blame on structures, of placing the blame on things that are not ultimately to blame. These things might be, at times, abusive. They might participate in it. But these things themselves are not the root of man's problems. Having hierarchy, and if having hierarchy is itself the problem, then why is nature itself hierarchical? Doesn't Jordan Peterson talk a lot about lobsters and how lobsters kind of form a hierarchy?
Father, we got a lobster hierarchy, you know? Don't you know about the lobsters?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in principle, I agree that in nature, you'll find that wolves have a pack and they have a hierarchy amongst the pack of wolves. And that's because the alpha wolf stays in the back and watches and makes sure that nobody gets killed in the rest of the pack, et cetera, et cetera. Nature has this fundamental component to it. So clearly it can't be that man's problem himself is out there in society. It's inside man. It's his heart that has to change. That's the source of the problems. And so... One of the things that I want to get to when we bring on Courtney now is this power that Tavistock seemed to really hone in on, which is controlling and steering public opinion to the degree that they could get people to believe in all kinds of fake, false enemies and bad guys. And they never, ever identify the actual intellectual intelligentsia structure that is socially engineering them. And one reason that they're not able to do that is because, as Edward Bernays says, the beginning of his book, Propaganda, the social engineers are a hidden power structure. They're not hidden in the sense of, like, secretly in underground bases doing Illuminati rituals. They might be, but he's saying in the sense that they're hidden because the public just simply doesn't know about the Walter Lippmanns and the Edward Bernays and the John Rees and the Dr. Kurt Lewins and all the people that are doing the social studies. Right, the Institute for Social Research, for example, at Michigan University. Does anybody know about that? Very few. Very few people do. But they were instrumental in contracting out a lot of this research to socially engineer. And this is also, by the way, if you read the Douglas Valentine book on Phoenix Program, a lot of the Vietnam War was being run out of the University of Michigan. The CIA had a command base set up there, and I'm sure they were working with the Institute for Social Research as well to experiment in Vietnam on social control, social engineering, and so forth. So is Courtney available? Is she up yet? So, Courtney, are you there? We've been talking about engineering. Hey, we've been talking about social engineering, you and I. We've done a lot of interviews, and I wanted to see if you agree, because I know you've done a lot of research into Marxism, and not everybody at the Tavistock Institute and the Institute for Social Research were necessarily Marxists, and they don't have to be, but these are great examples of systems like Marxism where people are corralled into believing that the enemy is something that isn't actually the enemy. Do you agree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So really interesting for me, got on this whole journey. I think my first kind of like mini wake up was learning about the Frankfurt School and realizing how invested they were and how much they were utilized in order to create the propaganda and this whole like identity politics world that we live in currently. And I, we see that, and I thought that was one of my first like wake up calls, is because I used to say, and I think I just did this because it was much easier. I was in the world of Hollywood, and like, it was really hard not to be like all the way left in Hollywood. So I used to say, and even just growing up, I grew up on the East Coast, right outside New York City. And then I was an actress in New York, and then I moved out to LA, and it was just easier to say I'm, socially liberal, but I'm fiscally conservative. And that was just much more acceptable. And really it was when I started to learn about the Frankfurt School that I realized how much they were using these philosophical principles and the identity politics in order to co-opt culture. And that you really couldn't extricate one from the other. You can't really have, this, who's paying for these fiscal social programs and this social ideology, right? You can't really extricate one from the other. So that was kind of my mini, but I think I was still pretty, unaware of the big scope and the big picture. When I first learned about Tavistock, that was like a light bulb for me, because it was a convergence. I think, one, it personally really hit me because of my background with, my psychology background and my philosophy background and then my artistic background, and realizing that Tavistock was kind of where a lot of the Fabian socialists converged with the Frankfurt School. And I see the Fabians as kind of the tactical arm. They're the strategy. And you can't really have, so as much as you need the ideology and the philosophical precepts, which I think the elites use in order to create the propaganda and the messaging, you need the strategy in order to infiltrate. And I think Tavistock was really brilliant at merging the two. And I think that they used the social scientists in order to figure out what would be an effective way to do that. So, yeah, I don't know if that was...
Yeah, and one of the things that you are really interested in is breaking the spell of the control of the culture in an artistic sense. And so like this weekend, you've organized an event, which I will be at. It's called Rebels for Cause. And of course you can get tickets still as June 3rd and 4th. And if you go to Rebels for Cause, it's rebelsforcause.com. You can get tickets. Use the promo code DYER, by the way, D-Y-E-R, to get an extra discount. Tell us about this event and why you wanted to organize a creative artist coming together, and who all is going to be there.
Well, so it's a massive event. We now have like 60 acts, and it seems to be growing by the minute. Yeah, this is way bigger than I ever could have imagined, and I really feel like I'm just an instrument, a vessel to help put this together. But I felt like, knowing what I know about how they use art to, socially engineer the masses for culture creation, right, and they censor so many who are organic, creative being. And I wanted to give a platform to those people, but I also wanted to bring a hybrid, because I feel like these information conferences are great. We're in an info war, right? So it's really important that people be given this really valuable information from so many brilliant minds. But I think, and it's also great for people to do that in person and find out that they're not alone, meet like-minded people, build communities, and connect with others. However, I think sometimes people feel a little bit overwhelmed by all the information. Sometimes they leave feeling a little black-pilled. And, the powers that be know how powerful art is. This is part of why they changed the frequency of music from 432 to 440, right? They know that it has the power to effectuate change on a cellular level. And they use it for their purposes. But it is actually incredibly healing, especially when you are with other people experiencing that art. So I wanted something that merged the two. and that was, you know, pro-human, that was, you know, pro-personal sovereignty, and that shows an example. So, you know, I do think of this as this is a spiritual battle, and oftentimes when people think about spiritual battle, they get very trapped in the binary. So they either, you know, are all in the dark and the doom gloom, and they get very black pills, or they're in the, you know, trust the plan type of white pill type of vein.
Oh, so it's a non-binary event. You have a non-binary event.
I have it, yes. Well, you know, I didn't want to be controversial, so you can't like them, join them, right? Yeah, so, so I thought that we need to show that there's both. If it is a spiritual battle, there needs to be light and dark. And I think that we don't have a whole lot of examples in the culture currently, because they own the culture. There's not a whole lot of examples of good, clean, fun art that's rooted in family values, that's pro-human, that's pro-sovereignty, pro-liberty. And I think their agenda is to, you know, put us into a transhuman leading to post-human world controlled by an AI hive work mind that they program, and then we'll all be siloed in the metaverse, right? But the best antidote, personally, I think, to that is for us to be radically human. And humans are social creatures. We need to do things in person, you know, with one another physically. And we're creative beings. And one of the ways that's manifested is through art. And so I wanted to give an opportunity.
Look, we got a break. Let's go to a break. Here, then we'll come back and talk more about.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. to your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and we were talking to Courtney Turner about this weekend's upcoming event and why it's so important to do real, authentic, organic, non-corporate controlled, non-socially engineered music, arts, etc. And that's really what this, basically it's a festival. It's really turned into a festival this weekend with, as she said, about 60 people. And we were talking about how, you know, the one key arm of the control structure is through controlling the arts. And, you know, I wrote two books on that. Courtney's done a lot of podcasts on that as well. We've covered it many, many times in the fourth hour of Alex Jones. And really, Alex pioneered exposing that many, many, many years ago, talking about the way Hollywood and the music industry is controlled, the use of symbolism, the use of, you know, the occult and so forth. So, Courtney, you want to tell us about some of the acts and who all is going to be there? I know it's 60, but you want to mention some of these people I might have even heard about before, like this Owen guy or this Harrison person. I think I've heard of them before.
Yeah. He's like, who are they? we have a lot of, like, it's a really a hybrid. We've got the speakers and we've got lots of music. Okay, we have here. So Patrick Byrne, I want to give a shout out to him and the American Project because they have really come through in helping to see this vision to fruition. Of course, we have Jay Dyer and Jamie Hanshaw. I'm sure nobody here has ever heard of them, right? And Faithless Town, they're awesome. Tim Thompson, Mel Kay, Ben DeLaurentiis, who was just on with me this morning on Harrison's show, Dr. Stella Emanuel, Andy Ross, Kathy O'Brien, we have Erin Jo Harris, and she's got a band, and they're going to be doing music. Justin Deschamps, he's doing a lot of stuff with Badlands Media. Nick Natoli, so he's doing that song with Jimmy Levy. Jimmy Levy is going to be remote, but he's going to zoom in and sing a song for us. George Webb, Austin Moody, Ryan Christian, you'll see a different side of him. He's going to be performing music. He's also going to be on the Pirate Stream Media panel with me. Paul Conan, who's a hypnotist, he's going to talk about how they use hypnosis and how you can buffer yourself against the media and the hypnotic effects of Hollywood and the entertainment industry. We have some of the Jan 6 victims. Mickey, of course, Ashley Babbitt's mom, who will be talking. Sarah McAvee, who is her husband is still a political prisoner. Who else? We've got the Sailor Brothers. We have filmmakers as well. We're going to be doing a filmmaker panel. We're screening a couple of like snippets from some film. We're going to be doing some improv, which Jay is going to be a part of. We have, of course, Klaus, and then we've got Klaus Jr., and we have the CEO of Target. We have a Trump impersonator, and they'll do a little improv sketch. We have a bunch of people from Medical Freedom, who are speaking on that. And, so there's the Trump impersonator, Sean Farage. Simon Estler, who did the film Cut, and he's going to be remote. He's in Canada, but he is going to screen a little piece of the film. We're going to do a bit of a back and forth talking about it. We will have on Sunday morning some people like Robert and Jamie Agee, who are from the Revenant Tour, who are going to be doing more religious ceremonies and speeches and some music that's more religious oriented for those who are missing church services. And then we'll have panels on Sunday. And, it's action-packed.
Yeah, and again, let's go back to maybe some of the background of this notion of culture creation and culture steering, because that's a huge part of, you know, what I've covered, as I said, and part of the reason why you're doing this event. You know, I know that if you go back to Plato's Allegory of the Cave and then Plato's discussion in the Republic of the Noble Lie, where he talks about the inner secret society that will run the Republic, the ideal Republic, he says they'll have to use these various invented myths and stories to control the population to make sure that everybody fits into where they're supposed to be in this rigid ideological structure of the Republic. And that noble lie, I think, is a really early example of foisting upon the society a false story, a false myth, a fake origins story, you could say, like the hero's myth or whatever. That's really, again, made up to control people. And that same principle is, if we fast forward to today, the way that Hollywood and the music industry has crafted itself as a kind of modern Plato's Allegory of the Cave. If you think about sitting in the movie theater, if you think about being at the concert, you know, you're really watching and following these people that are acting kind of like the phantasms and the shadows on the wall of Plato's cave. And that's there to control you and to keep you, you know, in this matrix system. And what I like about what you're doing here is that pretty much everybody here, we have a lot of disagreeing, maybe philosophical views, but everybody basically agrees that we need to wake up from this existing control system. So how do you see Hollywood and the music industry, since that, you know, you did have a time, you said, you where you were in that world? Do you see it as a really rigid control structure, which is ironic because I thought the arts were all about us being free and being, you know, set loose. And the irony is that, no, actually, this is a rigid control structure.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really interesting because one of the things that, you know, you were saying how it is like it's kind of a wide tent. And there are a lot of philosophical, maybe not complete alliance, but I think the main thing that everybody in this event can get behind is personal sovereignty and art. And I think if we can't unite over that, then we really have no hope for humanity. And I agree with you. I think you would think one of the brilliant things about artists is that they're creative beings that can see out of the box. And, you know, I always use the analogy of like they're able to kind of color outside the lines and still make it interesting, intriguing, potentially even beautiful. And that's exactly what they don't want. That's what's scary to them. That's why they have this control grid of Hollywood and of the music industry. That's where you have to fall in lockstep with what they want and their messaging. Anybody who falls outside of that, they don't give a platform to. Because they know how powerful it is, and they know that it has the power to, you know, subliminally. Because I think what happens with people is that, you know, as much as it's important to read and get engaged in intellectual matters and intellectual pursuits, human beings we're very complex, we're very nuanced. And when we deal in the rational, we can ignore things that we're getting intuitively. And we can ignore some of our emotional responses that are elicited. And art has the power to affect that emotional, intuitive response, in many cases, subconsciously. And so I think that it is really important to have art that is, you know, whether you agree with it or not, whether you like it or not, that isn't being controlled from the top down, where people are presenting, because I think artists have the power, because they can color outside the line, to take us out of these managed dialectical narratives. Because people often, they're spoon-fed these narratives, and then they feel like they have to take one side or the other. They're really not, because for so long we have been conditioned that people often don't really think for themselves and imagine that there could be a nuance somewhere in the middle or somewhere completely outside of that paradigm altogether. But I think artists have the power to show that there might be, you know, another way, or maybe there is a shade of gray in between the two that have been presented.
Yeah, I was just thinking of some examples of the arts that were prophetic that I've been looking at recently. I'll give some of those examples when we get back and why I think they were prophetic. Some stuff I'll be covering in upcoming live streams and talks. But I want to remind everybody, go to rebelsforcause.com, get your tickets, use the promo code DYER for this weekend in Nashville. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't go to where this is, the Alex Jones Show.
InfoWars is known for being tomorrow's news today. InfoWars is known for having 98% accuracy on average. InfoWars is known as being a game changer, and our products are not any different. Two amazing products that I really want you to try if you've never tried them. Or if you've been a regular buyer of them, they've been sold out for a long time, or back in stock, I want to remind you, are now back in stock, are the Real Red Pill Plus and Ultimate Bone Broth. I don't have time in 60 seconds to tell you about all the ingredients, but believe me, you want to go research. You want to go check out Real Red Pill Plus and Ultimate Bone Broth, back in stock, but they're selling out quick. And despite the fact they're selling out, they're both discounted. In fact, Real Red Pill Plus is 40% off right now. But in a week or so, it's going to go back to full price because it's about to sell out. This is your chance to experience Real Red Pill Plus and Ultimate Bone Broth exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Thank you for your support.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Welcome back to the Austin Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And we were talking about the power of the arts to really, in many ways, be predictive. And I've got several examples that I thought of during the break that I wanted to mention where we see pretty, I would say, almost prophetic examples of artists who were able to sense the zeitgeist, right, the spirit of the time, and to see where things were going. And I think that artists have that unique ability through, you know, their creative abilities to see where the society's going. My button came undone. I'm not trying to show my cleavage here, so I apologize to everybody that's... I know I just tempted everybody with lust. Please don't lust. It was just my button came undone. Everybody relax. But take a shower, a cold shower. Calm down. Notes from the Underground. This is an amazing work from Dostoevsky that, believe it or not, I think he wrote in the late 1800s. This book actually predicts maybe early. I don't see the date, but it was definitely late 1800s. And in this essay, he notes that the future would be one that is symbolized by this figure who's sort of a clerk in a station, and he's this really nasty individual. He has a really nasty heart, but in a lot of ways, he publicly is kind of a normal citizen. And the point of the novel, at one point, or excuse me, the short story, he eventually gets to this point where he says that the man reflected on how the wicked operate from the pleasure that they get from evil, and that this shows the Enlightenment idea that individuals can be morally neutral or something like this. It's just really not true. And that if all man needed was education, right, to solve his problems, if his problem wasn't his own heart, then he said we would never have the evil genius. And so this guy's reflecting as he thinks about people in history who were notorious tyrants. And he talks about how Cleopatra, I think he says, liked to torture her mistresses. She got pleasure out of torture. And he says the sadistic or the evil genius character, he says, proves that evil is something more than just a lack of education, that there's actual virtue and vice going on here. And then he goes on to say that, in fact, I could even project that the future will be like a machine. The evil men of the future will be like a machine that operate in a programmed machine-like way. There's a really famous page where the guy basically predicts a technocratic future where people are basically like robots. Again, that's in the late 1800s. In Brothers Karamazov, there's one of the most famous chapters about Dostoevsky where he talks about what's called the Grand Inquisitor. And this is an inquisitor. A theoretical way in this chapter is doing an inquisition on Jesus, right? Which is odd, because why would the Inquisition, if they represent the church, why would they do an inquisition on Jesus? Well, the inquisitor says that we don't need you anymore, right? And it's very prophetic, in my view, of where the sort of the globalist version of the papacy with Francis and others would go. And, you know, he wrote this again in the late 1800s. And it's basically saying that we will erect a world system, a globalist world system around this globalist religion. And we don't need Jesus in the religion anymore. So it's an amazing prophetic prediction, again, of not just where the 20th century Roman Catholic Church would go post-Vatican II, but where the world religion would go, moving towards this world religion. There's another great book in fiction, Ray Bradbury, right? His Fahrenheit 451, which is, we are at that stage right now. They're now saying that books need to be banned, need to be censored. Now, we've always had people banning books, but Ray Bradbury predicted a future dystopia where they would ban the reading of books. You got to be a dumb, mind-controlled citizen. You can't be reading books. Heck no. And Bertrand, he's basing that on what real people in the Royal Society, like Bertrand Russell, H.G. Wells, were saying. You won't be reading Shakespeare in the dystopia. You won't be reading the Bible. You won't have books. Books will be banned. And we will dumb everybody down. They don't read anymore. Philip K. Dick predicts the internet in Ubik. Now, another odd novel that I wouldn't have expected to be prophetic, which was written in the 40s, was a book by Flannery O'Connor. It's called Wise Blood, and I'm going to be covering this pretty soon. She's a famous Southern Catholic writer. Southern Gothic is the genre. And in that novel, it was one of her few short novels. She only wrote two. She predicted the rise of the new atheists. Pretty wild. This weird sort of oddball character named Hazel decides to create his own cult. However, the cult that he creates is the Church of Jesus without Jesus. So religion without any of the supernatural trappings or the real meaning of the religion, really just a tool of other interests, a tool of geopolitics, a tool of individuals who are just self-serving, in the case of the novel, this character, right? But far before we had this public campaign of the new atheists, you have this really odd prophetic prediction of the new atheists in this novel. And many, many, many more examples of the arts being predictive And I'll be covering those on my channel. If you want to go to my YouTube channel, Jay Dyer, and subscribe, we're going to be getting into these. We just covered some really curious elements in recent podcasts, like covering noir films, film noir, and all the weird occultic esoteric elements in a lot of the 40s and 50s films that nobody has even thought about in decades. So we're really digging up old school stuff. But Courtney, are you there? I want to get back to any of the examples that you can think of, like where you've seen in your own life, you know, like it doesn't have to be predictive elements, but like when you were in the entertainment industry, were any things, any stories that stuck out to you, things that were really weird or people trying to like, you know, make sure you didn't get a job because of your views or anything like that?
Oh, well, definitely I could not discuss my views. And I was part of the whole FOA group, you know, the Friends of Abe, where I found out that I was not alone in that. Lots of us were fired or blackballed for, you know, speaking out on our views. So that was definitely, very pervasive in Hollywood. But what's interesting is I also saw the agendas. You know, I remember, like, in, it must have been the early 2000s, and they were really pushing, you know, now they've really moved towards the trans agenda, but back then they were really moving towards the gay agenda. And the amount of casting that was done, it was just very strange. And I just remember thinking it was so odd. I'm like, so is every couple, like, there's no traditional couples anymore? Like, this is so odd. Why is this all they're casting for? And, you know, now in hindsight, I realize, okay, this is because they're clearly trying to, you know, elicit some sort of a message. This is programming.
Yes.
But at the time, I just thought it was bizarre. I'm like, this is not reflective of the real world, even in Hollywood, yeah. You know?
Right.
Like, yeah. So that's just
one example, do you think that was a top-down?
Yeah. I do think so. I mean, there's no way I couldn't say, like, for sure, but it seems really odd. I think, so I was actually, interestingly enough, when you were reading through all those predictive examples, I'm really thinking, I think it's a feedback loop. Because I think on the one hand, there are the social engineers who are in control and who are trying to push this message and propaganda, and they're in lockstep with this agenda. And the agenda is the New World Order agenda. And the more I talk to people now through my research and my interviews, it seems everybody in the entertainment industry, whether in the music or in film, television, Hollywood, if you're not in line with the agenda, whether it is you're willing to just turn a blind eye or you're, you know, willfully advancing it, then you're really out. But I think it's a feedback loop, because I think there's also so many people who are in it and they become programmed and brainwashed without really knowing it. I think it's completely, yeah, for some people, unwitting. You know, they really have no idea that they're completely in lockstep and they're completely advancing this agenda. And so then they come up with these ideas and it's so ingrained and they end up, you know, programming, casting and writing these scripts and, you know, these artistic ventures that are, yeah, so I think it is a feedback loop. I don't think it's just one or the other, but I think a lot of it is because they...
Yeah, and people that are artists, I mean, sometimes it seems to me like nowadays it's independent artists, right? And that's kind of what your event's mm-hmm. about, is people that are not locked into the old studio system or, you know, this kind of stuff. The people are doing it on their own now, and I think probably having much more success because, you know, that if you have to go along to get along to get anywhere, you're really just destroying your own soul. And it's very hard for a creative person to not be free in that way, to be locked into some stupid system. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be...
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. You can subscribe to my work at the website you see there, jaysanalysis.com. I want to remind you, too, that you see that top link there. I dropped a new cringe core song. InfoWars has had a history of playing my greatest hits, including Pay Piggy. And if you go to my YouTube channel and subscribe, you'll notice that the top song there is my brand new hit single that I just dropped last night. And it's an ode to Matthew McConaughey, and it's called I Just Want to Meet New People and Do Cool Things. And if you watch the clip, it'll explain why we do what we do as artists, right? You know, the arts, again, they have the ability to raise our sensibilities. I think that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to point us to the transcendent, to point us to these higher ideals, to the virtues. And they give us meaning. They give us, you know, stories give us meaning. And great art does that, I think, in a transcendent way, in that it points us to the divine and so forth. And we really lost that in the West because we don't really have great art anymore. Think about the Renaissance artists. I mean, I have certain criticisms of the Renaissance artists, but they're really talented, and most of their art was intended to point us to the transcendent. Think about, you know, great literature that was being written all the way up until, you know, I guess maybe the latter half, the first half of the last century. I mean, maybe there's new lit that's great. I don't know. But it's the same way in the domain of books that a lot of mainstream publishing and publishing houses, you know, they don't print your stuff unless it's going along with this agenda. This agenda that we're talking about is across all of the disciplines of the arts, and that's because it's a control system. They don't allow any area to not be under this control system. If you remember, I had on Wrecking Ball, the pretty well-known pro skater with a lot of comedic talents as well. He's a really funny guy. And we did a fourth-hour interview with Weck maybe a year ago, and we were talking about how even in the domain of skating, you might think, they don't care about skating. No, they do. Every area of life has to be under this new cult of the technocratic, you know, a lot of words I can't say. I don't want to use those words, but you know what I mean. What they're trying to push in all of these areas. It's even in the skateboarding community, right? It's in every area of the arts. And that's by design, and that's why we want to create art that is truly independent, not fake independent, you know, Hollywood push stuff that is not liberal. It's actually part of a control structure, but calls itself liberal or whatever that even means. I mean, the irony here is that liberal is associated with liberty. You would associate these things with being made free. And yet this entire structure is promoting all of the things through inversion that will enslave you. And not just enslave you mentally or spiritually, but now they're pushing the things that will enslave your body. And Courtney's right when she says that ultimately the goal is to put us into a matrix Borg hive mind. Alex has talked about that for 20 plus years, that it's an actual Pentagon plan to eventually have some sort of matrix style coon pod that you lay in, and your life will be lived out in this virtual reality, and you'll just be a battery for the system. That's what the Matrix was playing on. The Matrix movie was playing on that humans as batteries analogy feeding into this energy vampire superstructure system. And that's not just fiction, because in many of the global elite texts that I've covered, for example, Jacques Attali's Brief History of the Future, the latter chapters discuss the Borg hive mind and everybody being linked into this matrix web system. I have over here Ray Kurzweil's books. He says the exact same thing about the future VR matrix world that everybody will live in. When they have that ready, when they've got the technology ready. So we're being prepared for that as they roll out the things like the CBDCs, the Bank for National Settlements. I've been covering that this week on my channel. If you go to my channel, you'll see the latest lecture that I did was the Writings of the Elite. I think this is most recent one is about the EU, how it was created by the Royal Society elites and the people at Bilderberg. They planned the EU decades before the EU came to exist. Churchill was a big pusher of the EU. A lot of people don't know that. Alan Dulles, people from the CIA, they were pushing the EU big time. And so that's why the EU came about, right? At the behest of people like the Rockefellers and Prince Bernhard and all the people that are the founders of Bilderberg. That's who brought about the EU. It was not this, movement of liberal socialists or whatever in 1980s and in 1990. No, it was way prior to that. It was planned out many, many years. In fact, it was part of the Marshall Plan aid was contingent upon eventual acceptance of a European Union. That union model is what the global elite have planned for so long, which is to have all of the continents into continental unions. And, you know, Tiny Mustache Man, he had a similar plan, but his plan wasn't the one that the system ended up going with. He was just a subset of this overall system. What they ended up going with was not the fascist version of socialism, and that's a socialist model. They ended up going with a Fabian version of socialism because that combines very well with technocracy. And so, Courtney, I want to get back to you. You were talking about your time in the entertainment industry and how the system works. And I feel like, you know, I've had interviews, for example, with some pretty big name Hollywood people over the years, and they've kind of expressed their own internal tensions with sort of being on the edge of, well, I want to, you know, have one foot kind of in the system, but I also kind of wish that I'd been independent and doing things on my own. You know, when we look at people like Joe Rogan, who basically bought his own comedy venue in Austin, and he kind of is just allowed to then, you know, he could do his own thing, right? So if we can think more about getting outside of the system and doing our own thing as truly independent artists, I think what we ended up having a lot more success, ironically, right?
Yeah.
Because you really can rise to the top in doing things in alternative media on your own, as opposed to relying on this old legacy system.
Yeah, and I think it's because of exactly what you said, because art is supposed to speak to the transcendent. It's supposed to be aspirational. Yeah. And I always say that the powers that shouldn't be have their triple D's that they worship. They have their trinity. And the first one is, disrupt, deception. It's deceiving and distorting. And then the second one is division. They divide and conquer. And then, of course, the last one is destruction. Death, I think, goes hand in hand with that. And, of course, all of that is a breeding ground for chaos, which is a breeding ground for usurpation of power. But I think that when you look at the art, they're really using, it's all degenerative. It's all, or degenerate. It's all, very, it debasing. And when you, art should be, if you look at just in nature, things like a beautiful sunset are art. And they move us so deeply. And we don't know why,
right.
we just feel it. And we can just agree that it does. And I think that's the power of art. And I think people are longing right now because so much art is, you look at like even architecture, I think since the brutalist age, it's all, you don't have something to look up to. And
yes.
I think that because of our day-to-day life, we want something, we do want an escape, and that's another reason why it's so powerful, but we want to escape to something that we can aspire toward, something where we can think about, being, whether it's closer to divine or even just better versions of ourselves, that there is a possibility beyond where we are today, and I think art has that power, and I think it's part of why the independent artists are seeing so much success. Because it's such a stark juxtaposition. And the art that we're seeing today, they've become, as you talk about, like the revelation of the method, I think they're just becoming so much more transparent in their agenda. And their agenda is dark. And it doesn't make any sense. And people see that. They see that it's inverted. They see that it's dark. And I think in some cases, it really is just openly demonic. And that's not aspirational. So, yeah.
Yeah, self-destructive and, I want to remind people, too, that when it comes to this, freer notion of the arts, I'll be doing an event in Hollywood, well, outside of Hollywood, in July. It'll be July 6th. You can go to my website, and under every post, you'll see the upcoming live events. We have, of course, this weekend, Courtney's event in Nashville. You can go to Rebels for Cause and get the tickets there. My live event in California, Jamie Kennedy will be there. Malibu's Most Wanted, Jamie Kennedy Experiment, Scream. You guys have probably seen Jamie Kennedy's, one of the genius comedians out there. Jamie Kennedy Experiment is one of the funniest shows ever. So we're going to have a lot of fun out at that event. Get your tickets there at Eventbrite. And then Courtney's event this weekend, Rebels for Cause. Use the promo code DYER, D-Y-E-R. One last plug there. Courtney, why does everybody need to come out to this weekend?
Well, I think they need to come out. They need to support independent artists. They need to find their people, build local communities. We do want to make this into a national tour. And that's part of why, we're doing it. We want to take it. But part of why we're doing that is to build local communities. So, yeah, come meet your people. And right now we have a lot of people flying in from all over the country, which is awesome. But I really hope some of the locals will come out and see everyone.
All right, thank you guys. This is the Alex Jones Show. Be sure and support Alex and the Infowar by going to the Infowar store and getting those products.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.